Hi there. You're listening to the Voice with Action podcast. I am your host, Deb Balico.
And I am Rebecca Pratt, co-founder and president of Orphan Relief and Rescue. Tune in to be awakened and inspired to take action towards what you were created to do in this world, to live fully alive.
Hello, and welcome to the Voice with Action podcast. I'm here with Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
It's been so long since you and I have gotten on here together. So I'm excited to be able to hear kind of an update on the last month, because we were both recently together in West Africa, and Rebecca will be going back, but she has updates to share and just amazing things that the Lord is doing through Orphan Relief and Rescue. So Rebecca, where do you want to start?
Yeah. You know, the thing I was reflecting on, I was speaking at a church on Father's Day, and the thing that I was reflecting on really was this mighty move of God that's happening among the men in these villages. We've never seen this in the history of what we are doing. So we've been in these villages, it's about 14 years now, in these anti-trafficking village areas of West Africa. And, you know, through savings and loans programs, through other kid programs and different things, we have always had a strong audience, really, of women, women and children. That's been really our audience. And in the early days, it was the women coming, accepting Jesus, and then saying, you know, we don't want our husbands to know we're even hearing about Jesus because they won't allow us to come. So we're not going to tell them anything. And we totally understood. We respected that. You know, they told us that some of their husbands would even kill them if they found out that they had accepted Jesus. This was just a real threat to them. And they were very always in fear and scared. So we respected that. In those early years, we did not have massive community meetings at all. We just had women meetings, savings and loan meetings. You know, we were just constantly just staying within the realm of the women and the children. If a few men trickled in, that's fine. But, you know, sometimes the women, you know, would say, you know, their husband accepted Jesus and they wanted to come to the meeting. And, you know, we totally welcomed that. And then I'm not sure what year it was, about 6 years ago or so, we decided, you know, let's just invite the whole community of men and women and just kind of do a soft launch with who Jesus is and that, you know, this is the God that we serve and all of that. So we did that. Actually, we started with a men's meeting. So we started with a men's meeting, just men, no women. And we divided them up and we also fed the men as well. Well, then the women got jealous because they wanted to be fed too. So then we were like, oh gosh, you know, but we were just trying to like give an incentive for the men to even show up to a meeting because they weren't coming to anything anyway. And they loved the food. So they were like, we'll come to any meeting you have if you have food. So we thought, oh, this is our way in. It was the food thing. Well, at that first meeting, we had some officials that came, and it was the first time that a chief actually accepted Jesus. And it was like, oh my goodness, this is shocking. And his elders accepted Jesus and all of that. Now, of course, they add Jesus along with their other gods. And so until they're really discipled or they really start making strong decisions, Jesus is just one of many. So then it's through the years that you're walking through the discipleship process, you know, with them. So even a couple years after that, we decided, okay, let's join the meetings, men and women, and feed them both, because we can't just do women and then men separate and then feed them both. It was just too complicated. So we thought we'll just merge them. And then we'll just be careful with how we share Jesus, because we don't want these women who have come to Jesus to get into trouble. So we went and do altar calls where, you know, people come forward and all of that. And so we're just still being very careful. And it was probably, I guess, 3 years ago that we just started being really strong with the message of Jesus, that we just felt like the Lord was just saying, just pull out all stops and don't be candy coating anything, or the soft launch was now over. It's now time to tell them that the gods that they serve are actually demons, and, you know, it's the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And which one are you in? You know, this is what the kingdom of darkness is, and all that. So now we have, as of this last trip especially, I was just so awestruck as I see all of these men and chief of villages and elders and government officials, like they're all making commitments for Christ. And it is like, what is happening? This is shocking. And they are coming forward to say they don't want to miss out on what God is doing in their village. And they want to be a part of this. And they want their whole village to be a part of this. And they're encouraging their whole village to be a part of it. And they're coming up front. And chiefs are literally saying, I want you all to come to Jesus because he's the only way. We're not going to, you know, we don't want to be in the kingdom of darkness anymore. And I am truly watching a movie. I am watching a movie happen in front of me. We're just all, you know, we're not characters in a movie because we, you know, aren't pretending. We're not actors pretending. We are living a real life documentary of God's move and his spirit sweeping through. And I feel like I'm a spectator in God's arena is what I feel like. And so I was thinking of, you know, what shifts in the spirit realm when men come forward? You know, we've had the women and they've been amazing and they have truly changed their lives and changed their kids' lives and all of that. And the men have been the missing piece with all of this. And now that men are starting to rise up and we're starting to hear testimonies of these men and the chiefs are coming forward to give testimony of what God is doing in their life and in their village's life, and that they're learning to forgive and to not curse, and instead of cursing, they're forgiving, and what's happening because of that. And I'm watching this and I'm like, you know, there's something symbolic because these chiefs are in charge of these villages. Their elders, they're all male in charge of these villages. So when they come forward and literally from the front say, we declare that from this day forward, our village belongs to Jesus. And we want all of you to serve this God and only this God and no more idol worship. And they're declaring from the front this. Something shifts in the spirit realm when they do that. And literally, the Spirit of the Lord is invited in through them. And it's beautiful. It's incredible. And I'm just like, they are literally pouring blessing upon their village by what they're doing. And so as I was thinking about the blessing that these chiefs and the elders are following very closely to the chief in this walk with the Lord. And I was talking to our country director and we were talking about just the symbolicness of these chiefs coming to Jesus and these different officials and stuff. And then even the villagers and the move of God that we're seeing. And he says, you know, I'm planting all these churches in these villages and, you know, people don't necessarily come after they accept Jesus. We invite them, but they don't necessarily come, but they're still getting churched because they come every time you guys bring a team in. They're coming to church. They don't think it's a church, you know, because we're calling it a community meeting. But he said they're being churched and they're getting the gospel and they're hearing the gospel and they're responding and they are changing their life. And God is moving like we have never seen before. And it's this transformation that's happening very organically. You know, it's not a church building with a steeple on the top. It's it's a meeting of, oh, you get all kinds in this meeting, you know, as you've seen. I mean, you get witches, warlocks. We read a book about a former voodoo priest, and he talks about the mermaids, that they're beautiful women that are fully dressed up, and they walk into a meeting, and they're there to disrupt in the spirit realm what is happening so that no one will, you know, they're trying to alter people from coming to Jesus, clearly. But we have those in the audience. You know, we have all kinds of different ones. The drunk ones, you smell alcohol in their breath and, you know, because they can make alcohol. Predominantly the men like to make the alcohol in these villages. And so, yeah, you're getting all kinds that it's messy. But the move of God is happening. They're responding. And by the Spirit of the Lord, he's coming in and he's literally transforming their hearts. And then, you know, we tell them if they've accepted Jesus or if they haven't accepted Jesus, if they want, you know, we tell them they need to be into the Word of God. Most of them are illiterate. Everyone has a phone nowadays, even if it's, you know, this little cheap thing, they still can hook up somewhere to a friend's internet or something. That's the beauty of internet. And so I tell them, if you have a friend that knows how to read and write, download that Bible when you're at some internet area and start listening to the Word of God. Penetrate your heart, because that's what's going to transform your mind and your heart and your spirit. And so we also do audio Bibles where people can, you know, get an audio Bible that's a solar powered audio Bible that we give out as well. It's been incredible. And in that blessing part where you see chiefs literally in the spirit realm blessing their village because of coming to Jesus, I was looking at the scriptures of blessing and, you know, in the Old Testament, how important it was for, you know, the different fathers of the faith to bless their children before they die. You know, we know the famous stories of Jacob blessing his sons, his 12 sons, and it was basically speaking their destinies into them. And it was this blessing. It was this something that they did that was very, very important as they left this world. And, you know, Isaac did that, obviously, with his sons. And there was something with leaving a legacy of blessing that was very symbolic. And in the New Testament, we see how Jesus is blessing everyone that he touches. And Paul was constantly, you know, I bless you in the name of Jesus. And then there's the different scriptures where God in Numbers says to the Levites, the priests that were they were Levites, but they were the priests. And he says, I want you to bless the Israelites with this blessing. And it was the famous blessing prayer that we hear all over the place. You know, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. And that whole blessing scripture was where God said, I want you to bless my people. And this is how you do it. And so with the father's blessing, with the mandate of the priests blessing God's people, and then the New Testament, we see how Paul was blessing everywhere he went, and Jesus was blessing everywhere he went. And the fathers, I was thinking, you know, how does that translate to us here? And I love when I see fathers blessing their children. I've always loved that. I had my dad 2 years before he died. I had him pray a blessing over our kids and the grandkids. See, I think there was only 2 grandkids born at that point. Now I have 9, but it was precious and it meant so much to my kids to be blessed by their grandfather. And then I had Tim's side of the family, Art Pratt. He did a blessing 2 weeks ago on the other grandkids, some of the other ones that were in town. And then I had him bless the marriages of my kids and their spouses. And it was so beautiful. There were tears. There was just this honoring. It was incredible. Just like the presence of the Lord was so strong with that. And I just thought, you know, their dear grandfather left and we want to make sure that he is leaving a legacy for them to remember of him blessing them. He's always blessing them in their life, you know, by words and stuff. And he took it really serious. And it was, yeah, just very, very symbolic, I would say, in our family. So spiritually, I've just kind of looked, you know, I always see on the other side what they do in the demonic world. You know, the demonic world, you hear all the crazy, ridiculous stories of, you know, when this father died, he handed over his powers to his son or his, daughter or whatever. And then the voodoo priestesses are always handing their powers over to their granddaughters. And so you're always hearing those stories of before they died, this is what they're doing. They're imparting their powers, their spiritual, what they would say, their legacy of the dark world into their children and grandchildren. And I thought, we need to be doing that on the spiritual side with the Lord. Like, how much more we should be doing that, imparting the legacy and the destiny and the blessing of what, you know, speaking life into our children and our grandchildren and those in our path. I think of the children that we have in our care in Africa. You've heard the story of Fabrice. I don't know if I shared this on one of the other podcasts or not, but Fabrice was sitting next to me as we were praying over different villagers after one of the community meetings. And there was so many people that came forward. We were like, oh my gosh, we're in trouble because we don't have enough people to like pray for everybody. And so I had Fabrice on one side and I had my other translator on the other side. And I thought, I'm just going to do two at the same time. Like when somebody comes forward, I'll just have Fabrice, you know, do the prayer. And then I had, I think Christiane was on the other side and I just had them praying. And, you know, of course I was listening to the prayer requests and stuff as they came through, but Fabrice was getting all the little ones. And I thought, oh, this is perfect. I said, just Fabrice, just take one little one after the next. Like we're talking 3, 4, 5 years old. And they were just lining up. And so I said, Fabrice, you take all the little ones and just put them in the chair in front of you and just start blessing them, blessing their life and praying over their sweet little lives. They just wanted to be prayed for and just blessed. And so he is totally putting his hands on each child and he's so serious praying for each one. And I just had this like moment where I was like, oh my gosh, he was the 3-year-old in the village when we met him. Who knows if he would have survived or not. He would have had a very, very, I would say, a short-lived life because of where he was at. And now I'm looking at him as a Jesus lover and blessing, like where his life was blessed, now he's blessing others. And he was so serious, you know, praying for each of these little lives in front of him. And I clicked a picture and I was like, oh my gosh, my mother's heart was just overflowing. And I was like, oh, this is so full circle. This is so beautiful. And yeah, so anyway, there's so much in the spirit realm that I believe we are mandated by the Lord to not only pray blessing, but speak blessing over these different ones in our life and over these, you know, different, obviously for us, it's the villagers and the different ones, but wherever I go, I want to be that person that is speaking blessing and favor and mercy and grace over people's lives. And I do believe there's something in the spirit realm that happens, opens up the heavens over that situation in their life. And you know, and then back to the men, you know, when men are doing that, that's what we're seeing with these villages. We're seeing where men are rising up. And that's the challenge on the U.S. side. You know, as we see men rise up for their families, we see families being transformed. And, you know, that doesn't take us women off the hook at all. You know, if our man is, you know, doing that for our family, you know, we're right there beside him. And doing that as well for our children and our families.
I was just thinking with this whole men rising up, like the word that keeps coming to my mind is authority, you know, having authority in the spiritual realm. And I really believe that when men don't rise up, you know, women will rise up, but there's a whole new kind of layer or movement of authority when the men partner, you know, with the women. And then also where we work, it's a very patriarchal society and community where the men do hold in the physical world and the spiritual world a lot of authority and power. And so when these men come to Jesus and they just have this hierarchy, there's just another layer of authority of Jesus spreading. And it's just strengthened, you know, it started with the women and their lives being changed. And then, you know, they went through a savings and loan program. And then the men saw their wives benefiting from the savings and loan program. They were intrigued, you know, and before they didn't care. And then they were drawn in and now they've come to Jesus. And now they're really reaching their entire community because they have this level of authority. Yeah. It's the word that keeps coming to my mind.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Yeah. They are. They're given full authority over these villages. And so, yeah, when, you know, physically. And so when they take the authority spiritually, yeah, things shift in the spiritual realm. And it's incredible.
And it's just like this greater wave, you know, of people that are hungry and want to know more about Jesus, starting their journeys of discovering who Jesus is. And yes, when your journey begins, just like any person, you know, you might still have idols in your life, you know, even here, you come to Jesus and Jesus is such a gentleman, you know, he's so kind and thoughtful and in his, each of us are on a journey of freedom. And so just step by step, you know, freeing us from the chains and idols in our own lives, just like we're seeing, you know, where we work in West Africa.
That's so true. Yeah, it's beautiful.
But I know people do want to hear an update on the kids.
So I just got this week a story from one of our monitors, and she said that another 4 kids were intercepted from being trafficked. So it was a mother that her husband had died, and she had 4 kids from that husband that died. And then she married one of the brothers. So in these villages, women who basically they don't have rights to property, the man has the rights to the property. So when her husband dies, she has to marry one of the relatives or one of the brothers to stay in the family home. And the brother usually already has a wife or two. And so he's bringing in a third wife. So this particular situation, she was the third wife that the brother took in because his brother had died and she had 4 kids. So then she has 2 more kids with this man being the third wife, and that man dies. So now she's got 6 kids. Okay. So this is very typical, but sad. Then she doesn't know how to feed those kids. There's not another brother that's going to marry her. So she's not sure what to do. And a cousin or a relative says, I can take, you know, 4 of your kids to the neighboring country and you'll get a little bit of money for them. And so she agrees to do that. So right before they were going to go, the oldest of that child has heard about our program and contacts our staff. And then our staff intervenes and literally saved those 4 kids from being sold. And of course, they're going to figure out trying to help that mother, you know, encouraging her to get a part of the community savings and loan program. And they'll put all those 4 kids onto our program. So they'll be fed, you know, 3 meals a day. So it used to be 2 meals a day. Now it's 3 meals a day that they're being fed. And then they'll go to school and they'll be monitored every day by our staff. So yeah, that just happened this week. And I'm reading these stories and I'm just like, well, there's another 4 right there. You know, I mean, it's just, they're unbelievable numbers because it's hard to even fathom, but literally 4 lives were just saved. And they're basically 13, 11, 9, and 7 is how old those kids are. So those kids were just rescued. And I loved that it was the older child, the 13-year-old, that knew where to go for help. And we're now in those villages. We now have our community freedom centers. We have our office there where they know where to run to get help. They're coming to these community meetings. They're told from up front, you know, if you think you're going to be sent away to work for your own keep, you can come get help and we'll help you. And the message is getting out and they're knowing exactly what to do when they're in trouble like that. Whereas in the past, they never knew what to do and they were lost. They were just sent away, you know, sold into trafficking. And it's beautiful. I love that when we go back on these trips, we get to hear their stories and meet them.
Well, we always love hearing the rescue stories. I do want to send us out today with, you had mentioned that scripture, it's Numbers 6, 24 through 26. This has to do with blessing. And so I just want to bless our audience with this and read this out. But it says, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. So we bless you. And thank you for so many people blessing our organization and rescuing these children. If you want to know more, because we're always bringing in more children and it takes $50 a month to have these children be enrolled in school and fed twice a day and then monitored for their ongoing safety. So it takes $50 a month to keep them in our program. So if you want to know more, you can visit us at orphanreliefandrescue.org, and we will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Voice with Action podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you consider sharing or subscribing to this podcast and leave a 5-star review to help us grow? If you want to reach us or help us end child trafficking in West Africa, go to orphanreliefandrescue.org. That's orphanreliefandrescue.org. See you next week.